Good morning, New Life family.
Welcome to our online worship service. My name is Laura. I've been a member at New Life since I was born and baptized as an infant here.
And my name is Dwayne, and I have been attending since we got married. These are our kids, Georgia, who's 1 year old, and Luke, who's 4 and a half.
If you've just discovered New Life through our online worship services, we're eager to meet you and welcome you. Please connect with us through the online form available in the video description below or on our website, newlifecrc.ca. We also encourage you to meet with us in person on Sunday mornings. You can register for an in-person service on the website on Tuesdays.
Serve 2021. We are encouraging you to direct your service to hospital workers, specifically the team working in the ICU at Abbotsford Hospital. Here's how. Drop off one or more $10 Starbucks gift cards at New Life Church. At church, write a thank you note for the team. Cards will be available. This team in the ICU has been in this pandemic for so long that they are facing it in real time every single day. We want to show them our appreciation and bless them. Our goal is to collect 150 thank you cards. A big thanks to Joel and Izzy Van Galen for their coordination of this month's Serve event.
Father's Day, we're having a disc golf championship at New Life. New Life welcomes you and your family to or friends to a New Life disc golf tournament. It will be held on Sunday, June 20, 2021, from 12 to 3 p.m. in the back parking lot. Whether you are a disc novice or a PGA pro, come out and play our homemade disc golf course at the church. Bring your own disc, frisbee, or pick one up at the church. All are welcome to participate. Bring your neighbor, meet some people, have a lot of fun. We'll see you there. Register for this event on our website under the Events tab.
Ministry wrap-up videos. On June 27th, we are celebrating the opportunity for ministry that we have had over this past year since last summer. We need your help to celebrate all of the amazing moments in ministry that have happened this year. Do you have a ministry moment that stands out for you? Send us a quick video of yourself telling us about it. If you send it in, you can send these videos in by email or send them to us using our social media platforms. We want to celebrate together some of the highs of ministry, even in this hard year.
For our offering today, we're going to collect for Esperanza. Part of our worship to God is surrendering all that we have to the God who owns everything and provides us with all that we need. So we encourage you to give an offering as money as a way of saying thanks to God for everything he's given us. Today's offerings are for one of our missions partners, Esperanza. Esperanza is a Christian camp on the west coast of Vancouver Island. It is meant to be a resting place for those who need refuge from the storms of life. We're going to pray now quickly for Esperanza and for God's blessing on our offering. Father God, we thank you for the ministry of Esperanza and the work that they do in their beautiful but remote location. We just pray over these gifts that we collect and that you would use these funds to help them continue their essential work, serving the families that really need rest and restoration at their location and the ministry that they offer. Amen.
Kids, Pastor Sam has put together a video and activity sheet for New Life Kids. You can check out these materials by visiting newlifecrc.ca/kids. This month's series is called The Riddler Rangers, and this time, join them in the dunes of Damascus. Their adventure through the long-lost ancient tomb will lead them to discovering that the greatest treasure is God's word. Next, we will be joining together in worship. We will begin with our new sermon series together with Pastor Nathan. You can pause this video anytime to set up your kids for their own lesson. Thank you, and have a great Sunday.
Well, good morning. It's great to be with you again. Welcome to you, those of you who are watching virtually. We're also live, and so we're inviting you as well to consider registering to attend a service at New Life. We're so excited that we can begin meeting together again. Today, we begin a new series of messages, a short series, but nevertheless, a series called Together. Now, I planned this series long before we knew that we were actually going to be able to meet together once again, and because we've been in this season of, disrupted togetherness. Now, the disruption, of course, has been obvious. The togetherness, perhaps less so, and yet, that togetherness was there, and I want us to focus on that togetherness. And to do so, we'll be looking at the letter to the Philippians that Paul writes to the church there in Philippi. And the obvious question then, of course, is, well, how does Paul demonstrate togetherness even though he was 1,300 kilometers away from Philippi in Rome? A secondary question then would be, how does Paul do that? How does he demonstrate that togetherness when he had so much going against him? Not only was he 1,300 miles away, but he was under house arrest, awaiting prison perhaps, certainly under trial or awaiting trial. And it was unlikely that he would ever see the Philippian church ever again. And yet, Paul demonstrates celebrating the togetherness with such joy and enthusiasm. How does he do that? Well, he does it by loving the church. Paul demonstrates togetherness by loving the church. He's far away, but as he says, he is close to them in heart. He thanks God for them. He's constantly praying for them. He acknowledges their partnership in the gospel together. And he's confident about how God is establishing them as a testimony to God's work in the world. And then Paul writes this, verse 7, "It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart." Paul loved the church. And there's no doubt in Paul's mind that they were together, though they were miles apart. Despite whatever disruption they were experiencing, Paul demonstrates by a love for God's people, the church of Jesus, he demonstrates togetherness. And it wasn't just that Paul felt it. Paul also observed it in the churches that he had established. And so in his letter to the Ephesians, he says a very similar thing about the Christians in Ephesus. He says this in chapter 1 of Ephesians, "For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus," and then get this, "and your love for all God's people." Paul takes note of that. "Your love for all God's people. And for that reason, I have not stopped giving thanks for you." He says a similar thing to the Colossian church when he writes, "We always thank God," Colossians chapter 1, verse 3, "we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and we've heard of your love that you have for all God's people." It was a critical thing for Paul that the church would be united together in its love for one another, in its love for the church. Now, I'm trusting that you've caught a hold of some sense of that togetherness, perhaps even just snippets of it during this season of a pandemic. Because it was real, even though it may have been disrupted, it was real, the togetherness. Maybe when you received a phone call or a card from a church elder or your life group leader, or from a pastor. Maybe you were asked to host a service or for kids' church. And you felt an affinity with the people to whom you were speaking, even though you were speaking to a camera. Maybe when you signed into the prayer wall on the New Life app and you participated in the prayers offered there, you sensed that togetherness. We're together when we're loving the church. And as we celebrate ministry and our togetherness for the gospel, I want to urge us to keep on loving the church. As we enter back into gathering together in the auditorium here, when we have meetings in person, when we start up our programming and we're able to hug each other and shake hands with each other, and it's not just a matter of our social connection. It's a matter of our celebrating our togetherness in Christ. And that means loving the church. I've been so encouraged by the love for Christ's church that you've demonstrated in these past months. In uncertain times, you've been faithful in your giving because you love the church. And in frustrating times, you've been encouraging to the staff, blessing them, thanking them, appreciating them, encouraging them. In chaotic times, you've loved the church with your patience and your perseverance. You have loved the church, and I thank God for you. Love the church. How do we do that? Well, Paul demonstrates that love for the church, and I urge you also to love the church, but not because the church is perfect, not because the church is awesome, not because the church meets all your needs, or because it satisfies you, or because whatever you need from the church, it gives. No, love the church because it's God's holy people. That's why Paul addresses his letter at the very beginning. He says, Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the elders and deacons. To all God's holy people in Christ Jesus. Paul always addressed his letters in a similar fashion to the Ephesian churches. He says the very same thing to God's holy people, to the Colossian church. He says to God's holy people, even to the Corinthian church, a church that had a lot of trouble with its unity, its togetherness, a church that had a lot of trouble trying to discern its mission and trying to stay focused on God's mission, a church that caused Paul a tremendous amount of frustration, even to that church. Paul says, to the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called, perhaps as a reminder, called to be his holy people. Paul loved the church because it's God's holy people. And when he refers to the church as saints, he's referring not to their moral purity, not to their perfection, not to the church's perfection. He didn't love the church because the church itself was perfect. He loved the church because God dwelt there. He loved the church because God lived among them and in them. Paul loved the church because the church belonged to God. I wonder if sometimes we have a hard time loving the church because we fail to look at each other through Jesus Christ. That is how we are perfected. That is how we are made holy, through Jesus Christ. We look upon people in the church. Yes, they're flawed, they're weak, they're frustrating, but they are people made new in Jesus Christ, which is, by the way, why we call ourselves New Life Church. Not because of what we're able to attain or accomplish, but because we are made new in Jesus Christ. So we love the church because it's God's holy people. And to see people through Jesus, we must always be looking to him. Quite some time ago in a different church altogether, I had an issue with a fellow church member, and I complained to my pastor about it. He listened to me so patiently, so sympathetically, that I was sure I was winning him over to my side to see my terrible frustration and my terrible dilemma. And when I was all done spilling out all of this frustration, unburdening myself, I was confident that my pastor would take up my cause for me. When I was all done, his only response was, "Yes, indeed, that is difficult. And Jesus loves her too." And to this day, I still remember that episode. And it reminds me to love the church. Not because it's perfect, not because the people are always pleasant. I love the church because it's God's holy people. Love the church because God appointed the people in the church today. They are saints made holy through Jesus Christ. And if you love Jesus, you love the saints. You love the church. But we also love the church. Aside from it being God's holy people, we love the church because we share in God's grace. Misery loves company, we say, but grace loves company too. I mean, listen to how Paul lays that out. Again, in verse 7 of chapter 1, "It is right for me to feel this way about all of you," as he expresses his love for the church, "since I have you in my heart." And then he adds this, "And whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus." See, we are all dependent on God's grace, and that brings us together. The fact that all of us desperately need God's grace, and all of us are gloriously provided with God's grace, that brings us together. And that's why we love the church, because we're totally dependent on God's grace, a love that is undeserved. We haven't earned it. We haven't accomplished it. We haven't achieved it. It's simply the gift of God. I'm impressed with how Paul grasps the power of grace to bring us together. Grace cuts through every barrier, every division that might bring us apart. And so when the Philippian church complains to Paul, presumably, about some people preaching Christ out of false motives, and they're panicking because it's giving Paul a bad name, and they're worried about the gospel of Jesus Christ being tainted. And then Paul says this, verse 15 of chapter 1, Philippians, "It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. And the latter do so out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former," those who preach out of envy and rivalry, "the former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I am in chains." And then get this. This is the power of grace. "But what does it matter?" Paul says. The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, Paul says, "I rejoice." So love each other. Love the church. Whether you think it's deserved or not, because God loves you, whether you deserve it or not. And likewise, we want to imitate God's character, because we're made in the image of God. So love the church because of God's enormous and amazing grace, a grace powerful enough to transform us, even when we are unlikable. Love the church because it's God's holy people. Love the church because of God's powerful grace to transform us. Love the church because the church is on God's mission. We're partners. Partners in what God is trying to accomplish. God invites us to work with Him, and that brings us together. Whatever else the church is occupied with, God's mission always takes priority. God's work takes priority. There's no disruption that's going to interrupt the unity in God's mission. Or as Paul says, "Yes, and I will continue to rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and God's provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance." Whatever else is happening in the church, or in our lives for that matter, we flourish. And we flourish not because things are going well for us. We flourish because God's purpose for us will be accomplished. That was Paul's confidence. Even though he was separated from the church he loved, even though he was separated and under trial, even though his future was uncertain, his confidence was that God would accomplish his purposes through Paul. Love the church. Paul testifies to how his confidence is raised up because the Philippian church is praying for him and by the power of the Holy Spirit. So love the church. Love the church by praying for it. It keeps us together in our ambition and in our expectations with the priority of God's mission. So Paul felt this affinity with the Philippian church because together they had that same ambition to shed the light of the gospel into all the world. And I've watched some of you take up that challenge as well, even during this pandemic. Things that you said you would never do for the sake of the gospel, to advance ministry, to grow your faith, you did them. I've seen you take up the serve focus that we've established in this year, trying to put the focus off of ourselves and into the lives of others. And I've seen you take that up this year as a way to live in fruitful labor for the sake of expanding joy in the faith. Joy. Not because the pandemic is over, sure, that's joy enough perhaps, but because you could shed the light of the gospel in the midst of darkness. That has brought us together. That one mission unites us. Now, listen again to what Paul says, verse 20 of chapter 1. I eagerly expect and I hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted. Oh, whatever happens, doesn't matter, Paul says, because I'm confident that Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. Paul is taking this to the extreme. And so also we. We love the church because in contending for the gospel, we only desire that Christ be exalted. Be assured that even with this pandemic, God will use it to exalt Christ. Even as we come together, the priority is God's mission. Even as we come together, the priority is not the fact that we can see each other, meet each other, and be together. The priority is still God's mission, that Christ would be exalted. And in that way, we are always together. I thank God for you. Love the church. Love the church because it's God's holy people. Because of the power of God's grace in our lives. And because we are on a mission together. God's mission. And He will accomplish it. Let's pray together. Almighty God, we praise you for your goodness and for your grace, a powerful grace that unites us together in Jesus Christ, a powerful grace that sanctifies us by your Holy Spirit. Almighty God, we pray that our lives may constantly demonstrate your greatness, your power, your glory. And in so doing, God, may we love the church. Awaken us to that, Father. We confess that oftentimes we have been so selfish and that we've only grabbed hold of the church in as much as it satisfies us. God, release us into the freedom of Christ with a passion to love the church of Jesus, even as we confess that we love our Savior and our Lord. And so, God, as we begin imagining what life is going to be like when we can come together again and when we can be released from restrictions through the pandemic, remind us again and again, God, what the priority of our lives are, what the aim and focus of our lives are. To exalt Christ and to shed that light of Jesus into all the world and to show off the greatness of your kingdom. God, inspire us and enthuse us, excite us, energize us for that work of mission. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So go into this week with the same kind of enthusiasm and joy that Paul demonstrates. Yes, even while he was apart from the church he loved, even while he was in prison, even while he was awaiting trial. And so for whatever trials you are walking through, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. May the love of the Father shower and surround you. And may the fellowship of the Holy Spirit sanctify you and bring you together. Amen.
Of your pain, you finally will cease. Celebrate Jesus. This morning, Pastor Nathan kicked off our brand new Together series by reminding us that we're called to love the church because we are God's holy people. We're all called to one same mission, and we are all companions in grace. We're so excited to be back for in-person services, so make sure you remember to register starting Tuesday morning for one of our two services. Also, next time you're going through the Starbucks drive-thru, make sure to grab a $10 gift card for our Abbey ICU team. You can drop off that card at the church, and while you're here, make sure to fill out a thank you card. Have a great Sunday. Go in peace.